So good afternoon, welcome back, or good day, whatever time it is for you. So I'd like to offer some reflections on the theme of gladdening the heart, mind, the citta. There's one way, one crucial way, or quality that really has a strengthening, uplifting effect. Gladness, different terms in the teachings, pamoja, rejoicing, gladness. And after a discussion with some of you at lunchtime, I think I just wanted to touch on this theme. Question came up, I'm sure will be providing me and others with more inquiry about, is it okay to enjoy things? What place does enjoyment have in our practice, in our life, in the understanding of the Buddha's teachings and the path of liberation? And I realize that can be an area of some confusion for me at times. So my sense is that, you know, the Buddha was, again, sense pleasure. So the pleasures that arise from a touch, a taste, a sound, a sight, so that pleasure is to be known and understood and not to be relied on for happiness. So there's the pleasant, the unpleasant, the neutral, and what is a wise relationship to all of that, and how maybe for some of us it feels like we're not allowed to enjoy anything, and somehow the pleasure in life is, again, to me, some conditioning around that. But I think for me that this teaching on the word mudita, kind of this appreciative joy or gladness, the third Brahmavihara, which I'm going to be mostly focusing on. But I also want to mention gratitude, which also for me is like somehow part of this third Brahmavihara, was also mentioned in the discussion. That is really, it's a kind of joy and gladness, which is not so much the response to, you know, pleasant sense contact, but is much more actually the pleasure and happiness and joy from heart, being touched by heart, or you could say by the perceiving of goodness, beauty, truth, kindness. And the kind of happiness that arises when we see another person, and the skillfulness and the beautiful, fruitfulness of that for them and for others. Those beautiful qualities of heart we might see in different people, you know, patience. And so my sense is that mudita is more to do with that heart recognition of the strength of the heart in others, in ourself, of the goodness of our heart and the goodness of others. Right, rather than I'm so happy you've got a new, I don't know, iPhone or something, which is maybe nice and could be helpful and might enrich that person's life, but I don't think that's quite what the Buddha's pointing to this. So I think it's a very interesting exploration, and how much we're talking about when you enjoy things and there's a sense of gladness, then again, it can tip kind of into grasping and clinging and identification, you know, and I want more of this for me, or just wanting it to extend, right? So I was mentioning how there's a sense of the wise relationship to pleasure. That's probably something that, you know, is an ongoing exploration for all of us. And so much of that on the sense level is kind of being able to know that, like kind of, yes, it happens, and enjoy it while it lasts, it arises and passes, not to kind of you know, I mean, what is it like? You spend your whole life just rushing around trying to make the next pleasant thing. You know, we were talking about refuge and false refuge, and that may be one, and it can be even more damaging than that, can't it? As we see on a personal level, on a much larger level of what happens when there's ignorance and we don't realize that the way that we're trying to get more pleasure is actually damaging other people and damaging the planet. So, yeah, interesting. So I just, at the moment, I keep coming back to this sense of it's that strengthening and that gladdening and that sense of uplift that can come when we contemplate blessing, when we contemplate goodness, when we deeply consider what we're grateful for. Yeah. So maybe having more access to that kind of joy, sometimes it's called gentle joy, which is actually more, you could say, embedded or embodied in the heart, in the citta. So then we're actually less needing the kind of sense pleasures. It's nice when they come and fine and they come and go, but we're not spending a lot of energy and attention, a lot of kind of looking and trying to get. But there's a kind of way that we have of being able to rest in just the gladness, or even in a more subtle level, quiet level, the quietness, the quiet joy of contentment, you know, or the quiet joy of when the pain stops, or, you know, just even contemplating the absence of pain or the absence of pressure externally, internally. So I think part of this practice is really helpful when we can tune into and be glad for in ourselves or another. Oh, okay, I can feel you finding your balance, or, you know, having a bit of perspective on something that's happening, that's then, oh, there's a kind of widening and like, oh, a bit more perspective. Suddenly you can sort of see again the wider perspective. But yeah, sort of that wise perspective which sees things in a larger context. So that sense of just the quiet okayness. And I think this is one of the things that our meditation practice can enhance our capacity and our taste for, like, just nondescript, quiet, okay, great. So interesting, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but this is, I wanted to share a couple of quotes in this regard. One from Rodney Smith, he said, practice takes us through the doing mind into the non-doing of ease and contentment. So that sense of just being able to calm and just for a while, you know, just for, again, we step aside to rest and refresh and, you know, like somebody was saying in the group, is so frazzled mentally and physically by a sort of contact of sort of information about what's going on in the world and then sort of in the personal life, and just really knowing how to step aside and kind of direct and train the attention, or be able to contemplate and reflect in ways that are kind of, yeah, quietening, calming, and sensing. Sometimes maybe it's a very, actually very small step. It's a very subtle, like sometimes you feel very agitated and it's like this slight sideways glance and you say, oh, it's okay over here. And the breath comes a little more easily. So there's something to really experiment with, that sometimes, it, you know, it can feel like you've got to spend hours cranking out some joy or something, or, you know, that actually it can be very available in a more immediate way, just by sometimes literally shifting your gaze or shifting your attention, or opening up, moving the body, looking up. And it's very interesting, you know, in the tradition, Christianity, Anglicanism that I grew up in the early part of my life, the sort of, you know, praise and sort of lift up our hearts and we look up, and it's like, you know, sometimes for me it's like I look up and I see the trees and the sky, and there's this kind of, oh, again, that's probably partly to do with the bigger perspective and the way that dukkha and the very narrowing, isn't it? So contracting, kind of closing down, and gladness kind of widens and opens. So, yeah, I remember once kind of in a city that I knew really well, I decided to go around and look at the tops of all the buildings, just look up, look at, and it gave me a really different perspective on that place. And somehow, again, widened the perspective and the knowledge. So I don't know if that's quite translates psychologically, if you like, what would it be to walk around looking up at the tops of your sankharas, you know, your formation, and see, oh, there's a sky, you know, there's some space above that. Yeah, don't know. So it's an exploration. How is the heart mind gladdened? And sometimes I think, you know, you probably know this very well, like if you've been practicing for a while and you know what is a helpful reflection or a helpful way of attending. And I think a lot of practice brings a sense of gladness and we just don't notice it. Sometimes just that what some, I can't remember who is saying this, there's a kind of very, very quiet joy in mindfulness. Right, interesting. Once that I'd heard that, I thought, yeah, there is actually. It's again, so maybe we're looking more and tuning more to some of this more quiet, rather than the more excitable kind of joy, which there's place for that in our life as well, if that energy is around, because if it's happening, then it's part of our life. So how do we relate to that? So much of the training, the strengthening of the heart, isn't it, is about how do we relate to what's here? How can we understand it? And then how can we incline? How can we practice? You know, this practice of gratitude, this is very powerful. I remember hearing the story of somebody who had made a practice of writing down three things she was grateful for every evening, every day before going to bed. And she said at the end of a year, it had really changed her life. Like, maybe that wasn't the only factor, but it was really significant. So maybe we can kind of take that as a bit of a practice to, in our own way, take time to consider what we feel grateful for. Like, we could do a little mini sort of meditation experiment now. These might not work, but anyway. So just right now, if we just pause and you just check in with how you are, how the body, mind, just kind of get a little bit of a readout. Yeah, degrees of agitation or calm, or just a general sort of, yeah, like just a quick readout of what's going, how you are. Mm-hmm. And then if you want, just, it's a couple of phrases I'm going to offer. I'm with kind of using teachings I hear from other people. So I heard this from Chris Cullen, dear friend and colleague. Enjoying the blessings of this moment. Enjoying the blessings of this life. So just encourage you, just let's pause together. And just for a minute or so, just if you like, just seeing what comes, if you Just allow the phrases to maybe see what comes to mind, enjoying the blessings of this moment. What's happening right now? We're enjoying the blessings of this life. Just invite you to kind of run that gently through your mind a few times and then just see what happens. What do you notice? So obviously you could spend much longer time doing this, but just want to make this little experiment. Now, just even that very brief minute or so, can you sense any kind of shift in the mind state, in how you are now, if you do another little readout? Sometimes it takes a while. Oh, maybe sometimes it can happen quite quickly. And these phrases might not be quite, work for you. But I really love that. I enjoying the blessings of this moment, the sense of, I don't know if we were together, we could share what came up for you, the sense of air to breathe, supportive person in the room. Beautiful hall, the Dharma, and so that sense of then the effect of noticing that, of noticing those things, blessings. Again, find your own language and pointings that help, but really. Yeah, and then sort of in a larger sense, enjoying the blessings of this life. And I think the blessing, the word blessing, where maybe there's some sense of the sacred, not in any formal religious sense especially, but something like the beauty, again, this quality of the sacredness, the beauty, the preciousness of life, so that sense of the heart appreciating the goodness of life, that is there's some sense contact involved, because we hear and there's a thought, but what we're really tuning into is this sense of blessing, of appreciation, of gratitude, that we are given, of what we are given. I think maybe part of it is this sense of generosity, of what is given, and also acknowledging that from a situation of privilege and class and race and in other ways, there's a sense that there's a lot that a lot of people are not given, and the injustice of that. But at the same time, their sense of the heart can always open to blessing and what is given and what has been given, and the nourishment of that, the nourishment, deep nourishment, considering even times past and the ancestors, our forebears, our parents, are the people that brought us up, and This is, to me, an incredibly rich reflection. Sometimes I've spent, hours just reflecting on my life, and there's just enormous sense of all the blessings and all the gifts and all the people who've helped me. And because probably not the only one. You're never the only one, isn't it? If you think you are, you never are. But of viewing one's life either currently or in the past or as negative, this negativity bias that is talked about by various people, neurologists and others, and is very, we can really see that in ourselves. Some of us more, it's like we just towards what's wrong or not good enough or lacking, or and then how hard it is then to kind of look around that and see actually all that is given, all that was given. Really interesting, where it shifts your view of yourself and the world and life. And again, not to say one view is wrong or right, but then what's helpful? What actually is supportive? What kind of way of seeing things in the present or the past? What brings support and energy and kind of a sense of being able to engage or take care of ourselves or take care of others? And I find that this reflection, so seeing, it's like in a way it's a choice to look through the lens of mudita, look through the lens, a way of looking and seeing. So then, and if you've ever practiced this, I've done it on retreat sometimes, where it's almost like you just put your mudita glasses on and you just walk around, and it's like everything becomes somehow, it's almost like pulsing with something to be appreciated. Life, the care, the skill. I'm just looking now in this room, and the floor and the beauty of the wood and that sense of nature and the care of the crafting of the furniture and the making of the cushions. And I know a particular person who did a lot of work to wash every single one of these cushion covers. And so you see that I haven't even got a tenth of the way through the room. So it's very interesting to see it as a way of looking, a way of seeing, that it then shifts and shapes our perception. It tints our perceptual field. And then that's a really crucial Dharma understanding, isn't it? And it's kind of, again, an insight aspect to these cultivation practices, that the negativity bias and the moods of lack and grief and hatred and ill will tend to create a few of the other day I was very annoyed for something. I was just annoyed about everything for a few hours. I just kept thinking and seeing different things. And there's that, and there's that, and that's wrong, and that should be, and I shouldn't have done that, and they should have done that. It's like, wow. So again, the world just became this kind of like pulsing with kind of things that were wrong. So this is an insight. Can you, it's like this, like my story with Polly, when I just looked at her, and suddenly joy and love comes. But we can intentionally practice it, right? This is maybe the important difference with sense pleasures and this sense of the cultivation of the heart and the mind, of training it to be more sensitive to the that which is already given, right? So the appreciation comes from what's already here, which is really different, isn't it, from that sort of sense pleasure thing, what I'm having and getting, and isn't it nice, and I wish it would be for longer. And this isn't like that. It has much more a steady kind of, it's just, it's, again, there's no me, mine, I grasping involved. It's more open and doesn't belong to anybody. And have you noticed, this is, I'm happy for you. When you really genuinely feel that for somebody, you see them there, something good has happened for them, and it's, I'm so happy for you, and you feel happy as well. So, I think the Dalai Lama talks about this, about, If you're happy at other people's happiness, and you've got whatever it is, 7 billion more chances to be happy. I don't know how many people there are on the planet at this moment, but a lot. And how many people we come into contact with. And this way that this attitude, this lens, this way of looking, you know, we can bring it into the way we relate, which I think I try to intentionally and sort of trained in appreciating people. Thank you. You know, thank you. And appreciating, you know, because maybe many of us have a negativity bias. You know, that we could just as easily say, well, I don't like them very much because of this and that, and they do this and they should do that and they made that mistake. And but we can choose instead to say, thank you, I appreciate this, I appreciate that, either with them, you know, verbally or just the way we think about people. So I think it can be very, very important and helpful in supporting relationships, either the people that we're close to or even, you know, people who are far away. That's something we can practice, and being glad for whatever, even little, might sometimes with some people be very hard to find. Yeah, can't be anything good there. So yeah, we you know, that again, like metta, as I was saying earlier, these Brahman Viharas have this radical sort of unconditional boundless potential. And again, that's not of the sense world, is it? It's a sort of heart, mind, heart, chitta kind of capacity and power to generate, or to this sense of just being glad, anything good, anything beautiful, anything true, doesn't matter if it's here or there, him or her, you're just contact with that gives rise to gladness, and intentionally bringing those things to mind. And Buddha Dharma Sangha for some people is very, you know, so what is it for you? And that's part of what I think, you know, we can learn practices and have phrases like the ones I just shared, and images and memories, places. And then it kind of helps to tune the mind to that frequency and that wavelength, right? So then even when we're not actually, you know, like doing mudita practice, it sort of becomes more natural. That pathway is open. And so it starts to arise more in our life and naturally in relationships. So it's the kind of the more formal or intentional cultivation, and then the kind of finding it just starts to be more present in our life. But really important, isn't it? A time like, you know, when things are so difficult in so many ways for so many people, that if we are strengthening, gladdening the heart, we not only feel better, but we are more useful. So that's a rather utilitarian way of looking at it, but it's, you know, it's true. Sort of opening to joy. And I brought three books. I don't know, maybe I'll just mention them because, again, for resources and support. The Awakening Joy, a book by James Baraz, which actually I will just share one little piece on because it's sort of relevant to sort of where I seem to have got to at this point. That the power of pausing and lingering and savoring, so we catalyze, like I was saying, in the metta, and then we linger, we savor, we take in. So this is, you probably all know this very well. So anyway, I'll just read this little section from this page 58 of this book. You can actually strengthen the happiness circuits in your brain. Whenever you experiencing a moment of joy or contentment, don't miss it. Pause to notice the feelings in your body and the state of your mind. Do you feel warmth in your chest? Tingling through your body? Does your mind feel lighter, more open? Now, consciously intensify that feeling. I wouldn't quite put it like that, but here you go. It's another memorizing. So we might repeat it, we might dwell on it, we might bring that to mind on sort of those maybe amplifying or letting, opening up the body, the mind, like to let that energy sort of suffuse, again, suffuse and radiate. That might be another way of thinking about that. And Dr. Rick Hansen, author of Buddha's Brain, which is a great book on this, in this area, I think, calls this taking in the good and suggests first intensifying the experience in your body, then letting it calm down, and then intensifying it again. And he says, as with any positive state of mind, see if you can develop a strong sense memory of the experience so you can reactivate it deliberately when you want to. So again, a rather kind of, yeah, just something for you to experiment with if you wish. Just like I was saying this morning with metta, like for me at this point, that word has that kind of, like almost just saying it will kind of, oh, that energy or that heart sense will somewhat usually arise. Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see what else. I've got all kinds of things here to share. So maybe I'll share, I wanted to share this book, again, Resources, the Book of Joy, which my favourite part of this book, which you won't be able to see, are the photographs. And I mean, see, look, I'm laughing. There's a picture of the Dalai Lama, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu just kind of clasping each other and obviously and just making such sweet, loving, like the Dalai Lama sort of going, making a kissing gesture at the Archbishop. And there's all these absolutely lovely pictures of them enjoying the friendship, the fellowship. And as part of the reason why I love this book is because, like today in the discussion group, in the Q&A, this sense of the gladdening of the heart just through fellowship, spiritual friendship. And the Buddha, the one antidote for all the hindrances. I think it's common. It's the one, or maybe there's another, but it's one of the recommendations for all of the hindrances is wise friends and suitable conversation. Yeah. So anyway, I really commend to you this book. There's lots of bits I could read to you, but the Book of Joy, which was a few days of conversation between His Holiness and Archbishop Tutu, and then put together by Douglas Abrams. Yeah, so spiritual friendship, I definitely wanted to be sure and mention that. And among my spiritual friends, the great and the wonderful Pema Chodron, I never met her, and yet she is a friend of my heart. And for a while, for several years, her two of her books particularly were my closest buddies, and I could read and get medicine. And I want to share with you just a little bit from this Awakening Loving Kindness little book, the chapter on joy. She says, there is a story of a woman running away from tigers. She runs and runs, and the tigers are getting closer and closer. When she comes to the edge of the cliff, she sees some vines there, so she climbs down and holds onto the vines. Looking down, she sees that there are tigers below her as well. She then notices that a mouse is gnawing away at the vine to which she is clinging. She also sees a beautiful little bunch of strawberries close to her, growing out of a clump of grass. She looks up and she looks down. She looks at the mouse. Then she just takes a strawberry, puts it in her mouth, and enjoys it thoroughly. So, this is our predicament. And this is always our predicament. We are, you know, such a fragile planet, fragile ecosystem, fragile society, fragile bodies, that we can strengthen the heart and we can help strengthen each other's hearts and minds through generosity and through appreciation and through gratitude. And so that's a practice that we can do as a meditation, and then whenever we get the opportunity, like I try to put it in every single email I ever send, and I've noticed recently that once or twice when I don't, I regret it, because it might be the last email you ever send, and I don't want my last email to be grumpy. I want it to have love and appreciation in it. And so many different ways. Again, I hope you can, when you take it up as a theme or an intention, it can come into your practice and into your life in so many different ways. So I think I will maybe kind of pause there. Maybe two more things, looking at the time. I wanted to share a few phrases, a few mudita phrases, so you can, if you're interested, you can, and then there are lots of possibilities. I do find working with phrases sometimes is really helpful. Like I gave you the ones from Chris of enjoying the blessings of this moment and enjoying the blessings of this life. And if you're thinking of another person, you can think of that person and say, may you enjoy the blessings of this moment. May you enjoy the blessings of this life. Right? So it's lovely. It works both, you know, for ourselves and for the other. I want to share some phrases from Martine Batchelor, my friend and mentor. She's another, just so you can hear, and if you can always go back in the recording and kind of pick up on any of these if you want. Appreciating my efforts. And again, you can translate it, appreciating this effort or your efforts. So when you contemplate another person, appreciating your efforts, you know, the result may fall short of what we might wish, maybe often does, but I can appreciate the effort, my own and others. Yeah. Rejoicing in my understanding. And she gives some alternatives. Rejoicing in my happiness or rejoicing in my success. So again, you can sort of feel and find what resonates. And then again, that can be translated to, if you're thinking of another person, rejoicing in your happiness. And of course, that using the appreciating mode tends to sort of soften the sense of me and you. It's more like this, and there's this process going on that we're kind of encouraging. Being grateful for my potential. How's that one? I like that one. Being grateful for my potential. Being grateful for your potential. Yeah. Or being grateful for my existence. The miracle of existing at all. being grateful for your existence. Yeah, I'm glad you exist. Glad you're in the world. And then I'll just share one of my favorite phrases from my friend and colleague Zohar Lavi. May I learn to appreciate the joy I experience. Again, as a way of, again, inclining to include, allow joy that's to be part of our life, as, you know, part of our great richness of life, of human heart. Yeah. May I learn to appreciate the joy I experience. And again, for another person, may you learn to enjoy, sorry, may you learn to appreciate the joy you experience. So, a lot, hopefully something of some help. And I want to close the reflections by sharing a little chant, which I think singing or chanting for some of us is so supportive, uplifting, helpful, gladdening. And you might want to experiment with that a little bit, or maybe you already do. What was it I heard recently? Someone, I can't remember where it was, somebody experiencing a lack of electricity, you know, when there's no power, asking, I think it was somebody asking their mother what to do, and the mother said, sing, just sing, sing all night. So I won't sing all night, but this chant I learned recently from Sister Chandasiri, who is a senior nun in England. No, she's in Scotland now, and I heard her offer this chant at a recent teacher conference. And it, you can hear it, it brings together all four Brahma Viharas, the metta, the loving kindness, the karuna, the compassion, the mudita, the appreciative joy, and the equanimity. So I'll just sing it a few times, and if you want to join in your space, please feel free. And then again, if you want to learn it, it'll be there for you in the recording. And feel free to make up your own. I think it's a really wonderful practice to find a teaching or something and find the words and then find a tune. And it's something like Sister Chandasiri made this up and was using it as a mantra, she said. So may it be of some support, and may we, all of us, you know, really deepen and strengthen our openness to joy and our capacity to appreciate the goodness, the truth, and the beauty in life and in our own hearts and in others. So I'll sing it and then I'll leave a little silence and ring the bell. Okay, see if I can find this. Caring for all, sharing sorrow and joy serene. 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 caring for all, sharing sorrow and joy, serene. Caring for all, sharing sorrow and joy, serene. Caring for all, sharing sorrow and joy, serene.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.